Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
So I want to welcome each and every one of you here today. This is Father's Day, but you know what? We want the mothers to be here. We want the sisters to be here. We want everybody, all you females in the house, give me a holler. Come on. You are the reason we are here. If God had intended people to be fruitful and multiply, he made the woman to be the person to have the children because, guys, we'd have had one. Come on, we went through that pain and went, not again, never again will I do that again. But the women forget that. So we don't want to thank the moms and the wives in the house this morning. I know she says she's not able to say anything. That's about truth. But we want to celebrate fathers today. We want to celebrate grandfathers and stepfathers and father figures in the house. And those of you watching online later, we want to welcome you online. We want to just say have a great Father's Day today. And we want to welcome all you future dads. Come on. Some of y'all in the house, they're coming. They're coming. You just got to keep believing right now in the name of Jesus. But life is full of ups and downs, and being a man is hard sometimes. Even though we don't got to do our nails, we don't have to get eyelashes. Come on, haircuts are very minimal too. But and listen, don't judge me, but yesterday I went and got a pedicure. Pedicures are from heaven. And all you guys, look, you're judging me right now. No, go get one, and they rub your legs for an hour. You'd be like, oh, Jesus, Lord, this feels so good. You go home, oh, I'm going to be quiet, okay. But men are totally different than women. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Come on, all you men are going, praise God. When a woman says, I'm fine, she's not. Y'all get that one? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Men can go to the bathroom without a support group. If a guy gets up from the table and says, you wanna go to the bathroom with me, you'd be like, dude, sorry, no, I'm not going nowhere with you. But women, they go in congregations into the bathroom. A man needs 7 items in the bathroom. He can recognize those: a toothbrush, toothpaste, razor, soap, shampoo, deodorant, and towel. There are an average of 100 products in a woman's bathroom. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever go to try to use their bathroom? You're like, oh, Lord God, what is all this? And here's the thing. Men can only recognize those 7 things. He doesn't know what all those other things are that have the lids off of them. When a man gives a woman the option on where to go to eat, and they respond, oh, so sweetly, you pick. It's a trick question. Trick. They're not being cute. Pick something. Do y'all have that same fight? That ain't really a fight, just that struggle. You pick. Well, you just pick, okay, we're going to go to Taco Bell. I don't want Taco Bell. Then she'll say something like, I really don't want Mexican right now, you know. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. But all jokes aside, listen, I'm not the perfect husband. She's probably saying amen. I'm not the perfect father. I'm not the perfect person. And sometimes we get it right, and we leave a great legacy. And sometimes we get it wrong and we make mistakes like most of us in this room. I want you to appreciate Dad wherever he's at today. My dad called me the other day. Y'all don't even know what that means. My dad doesn't call me unless somebody's sick, death, or dying, or something. But he just called to say, I hadn't talked to you in a couple months. Want to see how you were doing. You don't know what that did for me. It's a simple phone call. So if your dad is still around, if he's still out there where you can actually reach out to him and appreciate him for what he did right. Come on, so many times we want to nitpick, we want to find out all the wrong things, but appreciate for what he did right. And forgive him for his failures, because you know what? You're going to need that from your own kids one of these days. Many churches today, and we cautioned Sam not to do this one, but we said, they're going to be singing Good, Good Father. Come on, that's typical of all the churches. But do we really understand what that really means? In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives an image of what the Father looks like. He's speaking to a crowd of sinners. The Bible says they were sinners. They were tax collectors. People loathed tax collectors in those days. And he was talking to the Pharisees too. Jesus loved to tell stories, and he told stories in parables. He loved to tell true stories, unlike your friend that tells you that story that you know ain't true, half of it, right? Y'all been around that person right there. That didn't happen. I was there. But Jesus loved to tell parables. It's a story to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And everyone in Jesus' audience had their own idea of who God was. He's explaining to everyone in the crowd, he's saying, you are valuable. I've come to seek and to save everyone in this place. One of the stories says he's going after the one sheep. He left the 99 to go after the one. The other one, there was a woman who lost a coin, and she was going searching frantically all over the house to find that coin. And in this story, he's presenting a true picture of who God is, of who the Father is. The sinners and tax collectors were disconnected from God, and they did not know who he was, but they were interested. Here, here's the difference. They were disconnected, but they were interested in listening to Jesus. The Pharisees showed up just to hear what they could hear, just to hear what they could find out and find fault against God. They were trying to approach God on their own strength, their own knowledge, and their own works. Matter of fact, they thought they knew it all. Remember, they were trying to tell Jesus how to quote scripture, and Jesus was like, I'm God, you know, I'm the word, you know, you ain't figured it out yet. But maybe you have a hard time understanding the Father because of your past experiences with your own personal father, your own physical father. Maybe you have a hard time understanding who the Father is and the attributes of the Father is because you grew up in religion who taught you the Father was up there about to beat you over the head with a stick every time you made a mistake. Maybe it put a damper. Maybe the father, your father figure hasn't been a part of your life. But today I want to present some attributes of the Father. And listen, if you get to know the Father better, it's going to make you a better man. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better father. It's going to make, listen, females too, it's going to make you better when you get to know who the Father is. This ain't just for the men's day. But Jesus presents a Father who was willing to meet us wherever we were at. The title of this message is A Good Father. A good father is, first of all, available. Look at Luke 15:11, some of my favorite verses. Here it goes. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Today, fathers are providers. Fathers are breadwinners. Let me, is it different? Does it sound different?
Praise the Lord. Oh, maybe. Okay.
Fathers today are providers. They're breadwinners. Being a provider is challenging because we live in a material world. What we see, what we hear, what we experience is more, 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 more. And if we're not careful, this might happen. The son looked at his father and says, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. You don't want to raise an entitled little brat. Maybe you've raised an entitled little brat. But this kid came to his father and said, listen, I want the inheritance. I want what's mine. Even though that was something that you received after death. Basically, what he was saying to his dad is, I wish you were dead. In the culture, they didn't give the inheritance until after the father had passed. He said, I want it now, and he showed a lot of disrespect to his dad. And even though we treat God like this, we only come to him when we need something. We're only grateful when he's done or when he's been so good to us. We're selfish with our time, with our talent, and even with our treasures. God the Father is available to us. In John 1:14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he beheld his glory and the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus left the Holy Spirit and he made it available to us daily to comfort us, come on, to teach us, to guide us, to reveal to us, and also to encourage us. We have to do the same thing with our kids. Even when they act up, Even when they hurt us, come on. Even when they don't always get it right, your kids are still your kids. I've had to have this conversation with a few people. Yeah, I might not agree with this or that with my own children, but at the end of the day, they are still my children. They are still the ones that I love and I cherish. And no matter what they do, now listen, sometimes you got to get corrected, and sometimes you have to speak some hard truths to them, but they're still your kids at the end of the day. You have to be available to teach and model what the Heavenly Father said. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6. You must commit yourself, listen guys, wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again and again. How many times do you think you got to say something more than once to your kids? She says that about me, and I'm the biggest child on the stage right now. I have to tell you again and again. But talk to them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. When fathers are actively, I said this a couple years ago, when fathers are actively involved in their children's lives, children do better. A study shows that fathers holding their babies, holding their young children has great benefits to the child's life. Listen, I love babies. When they're first born, they're okay. It's like holding a little rock that makes a noise every once in a while, or, you know, they're like, okay. Now, when they get, my wife loves it. She just snuggles them, and she'll just love them, but I love them when they get them eyes open, and they start smiling, because I can make a baby smile just like that. I'm not kidding. But what benefits are you giving to your children or your grandchildren when you just love them, when you embrace them? It says scientifically, it makes your children much better. Listen, spend time together with your children. Quality time is more important than quantity of time. Attention and listen to them. Our children need us to be available to us. We can also benefit from fathers and men by spending time with our Father. Come on, you want to be a good father? Spend a little time in the morning with God saying, God, how can I be a better father? Start seeking him and saying, okay, God, I see the attributes of you. I know you're available to me. I know that you are everything that you say you are. I want to be that to my kids. I want to be that to my wife. I want to be that to my family. I want to be everything you've called me to be. Listening to what he has to say and being available to do what he tells us to do. Another thing a good father does, he lets go in love. A father is available and he's generous without being controlling. He gave it. Son came and said, I want my inheritance. I mean, it's probably quite a bit of money. And the father, it doesn't say that the father tried to talk him out of it. It doesn't say that he tried to do. He said, no, he said, here it is. He gave it. What was he thinking? This was a totally new concept. God, who has all power and authority, would allow us a free will. He would allow us to make. Here's the thing, y'all. You got to listen to this. He knew his son may be making the biggest mistake of his life. He knew his son may be making a bad choice. But he saw that his son had already made up his mind to do this. Sometimes we got to let our own kids make their own choices. We got to let our own kids make their own mistakes. We got to let our own kids do the things that they're going to do, because the old saying is, you're going to learn today. I can't tell you the things. I've learned more from my mistakes than anything else in my life. And sometimes we can't be helicopter parents and just say, oh my gosh, don't touch that. That sand is sandy. And shh, that's bad. That water is cold. That's an inside joke. Anyway, we have to allow our kids to make all of the choices that they need to make sometimes. And even though we want to protect them, we want to pull them, we want to carry them. And listen, there are things that we need to train our children, that's what it says, and teach them the right things that they need to do. But there's also times we just got to let them go. Got to let them go and just say, okay, here it goes. God, I trust you with my kids. The best lesson sometimes is the one they can learn on their own. And all we can do is lead from a place of experience, Been there, done that. That's why the older generation is really good for the younger generation. We should embrace each other because we can keep you from doing things that are going to hurt you in the future because you know why? We did it and it didn't work. We did it and it hurt. We did it and there was pain. We don't want you to go through the same thing. So sometimes we need to, young folk, you need to listen to some of us old folk every once in a while. We know what we're talking about. Seasoned folk, let's just put it that way. Let's look at Luke 15, 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he journeyed into a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know what a good father does? A good father is an influencer. Luke 15, 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. He'd ate some pig slop. And no one gave him anything. The son was a mess. He wasted everything. He lost everything. He was in the pig pen of life, he was in the bottom part of the life. Unlike the owners of the lost sheep, unlike the owner of the lost coin, the father didn't go looking for him. Come on, that's big. They searched everywhere. They went to look for that sheep. They went to look for that coin that was lost. The father, he didn't really go looking. He allowed his son to go home on his own. He was relying on the fact that he had been a good influence. Come on, somebody, you got to get this. That he had been a good influence on his son. That's why it's important to teach your kids and bring your kids to church and teach them about God. Growing up in church, I grew up in church. I went to church 8 days a week. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all got to come on Sunday and you complain if it's too hot. 8 days a week I went to church. But what it did, it built something in me that as I grew, man, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse ensures us that if we train up our children in the ways and the word of God, that it will be ingrained in them for life. It doesn't promise that they're not going to act a fool. It doesn't promise that they're not going to try to run. Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't promise that they're going to not make mistakes. But once it's entrenched in their hearts and in their minds, what they've been learned, they can't be erased. There's things I can't unlearn. There's bad things I can't that I'm trying to unlearn. But there's things I grew up with that I can't unlearn that I am so thankful that my mom and dad entrenched and ingrained in me because I'd never forget it. I remember sitting somewhere one time, man, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. He said, you ain't where you're supposed to be. I raised you better than that. That was what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me. I could hear my mom and dad's voice in the background. But I tried to run, but I couldn't get nowhere. Because he's searching for you. He's always looking for you. I'm telling you what, you try to run, you can't. There's nowhere you can run to away from him. The son was far from home, but the father's influence, his training was still there. The son held on to the father's influence, his teachings, his trainings and example, even though he was broke, even though he was down and out, even though even though all of those things were happening in his life, he didn't resort to robbing somebody. He didn't resort to cheating someone. He didn't resort to even begging. The father's influence caused him to get a J-O-B. Come on, make your kids work at 7 years old if you can. Kidding. What it looked like, he must have witnessed a good work ethic in his father. He was tempted, the Bible said he was tempted to eat with the pigs. You got to know about the Jewish culture. They didn't, no pork in that involved in that one. The father's influence had caused him to develop a line in the sand that he would not cross. I'm hungry, but I ain't eating that. I might want that, but that's not good for me, and I know I'm not going to do that. He was not raised to eat with the pigs. Can I tell you this morning, you are a child of the Most High God. The king's blood flows through you. You weren't raised to eat pig slop. So you know, sometimes we just need to change our diet and quit eating what we're eating. Oh, yeah, after I said that, after I just came off of vacation. The father's influence caused him to remember who he was. You are not created. You're created in the image of God. The father's influence caused him to take responsibilities for his actions and make some needed changes. Dads, fathers, you are the influencer in your children's life. Look at Luke 15. But when, this is one of my favorite parts of the verses. But when he came to himself, you ever had a come to yourself moment in your life? If you haven't, I've had about three. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. Oh, I love this. But when he was just a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. The father never gave up hope. Even though the son had treated him badly, even though the son had wasted everything he'd worked hard getting to do, he was available to him by praying. Oh, you got to hear this. He was available by him to the son by praying for him each and every day, even though he wasn't in the house. He was available to the son by holding on to hope and just knowing my son is coming back. He watched every single day for his son. I picture him sitting on the porch in a rocking chair just the way I want to picture him doing. He's looking off into the abyss or wherever. And all of a sudden, he's like, my son's coming home today. My son's coming home today. He's coming home. This is going to be the day. He did that day after day after day. Come on. It matters how much you pray for your kids. It matters how much you pray for those things around you because we can't give up when our kids are out there acting crazy. Every day he looked. But a good father is forgiving. Luke 15, 21 says this. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father at that point had the right to fold his arms, turn his back, drive him off. Make him start from scratch. But what I love about that is the son started saying, Father, I've sinned against you. And the father goes right into saying, but the father said to his servants in 22, bring out the best robe. But here's what we got. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned about the comeback speech. He wasn't concerned about all the, I'm so sorry, Dad, I'm so sorry I did. He says, no. I want you all to bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf in here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. I love it that he didn't wait for him to go through all the excuses and all of the man. Come on. So many times we come to God and we've got our list of things. Come on up, Sam. We got our list of the things that we want to bring before him. And he's like, I already know about that. I already know that you've done that. We want to do those things. But God's like, no, I'm not worried about your comeback speech. I'm not worried about where you've been. I'm just glad you're home. Come on, some of y'all got some kids out there that they're coming home. They're coming home. They're coming home to build a better relationship with you. They're coming home to those places that you thought were all dead and dormant. No. They're coming home. And listen, they may have a comeback speech. I had a I had a conversation with my daughter about a year ago. And she was saying some hurtful things to me. Some of it was true. Some of it wasn't. But I wanted to say in my flesh, I wanted to say, but you did this. You did this. No, that's not right. You did this. And I tried. Now, Holy Spirit said, shut your mouth. And I'm going to heal it. I shut my mouth and he's healing it. So many times we're so concerned about telling our kids, I told you so. God doesn't tell you, I told you so. He says, come on back. Come on. Come on back. No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the comeback speech. I want you just to come back the way you are. The Father's extravagant love and forgiveness unfolds in every movement of his life. He ran to him. Do you know it was shameful for a man back then to run? And I'm just picturing that he pulled up his garb and he ran 100 miles an hour to meet his son in the middle of the road because if my son is coming home. You see him over there, here he comes. He took off running. He kissed him, and that means fellowship had been restored to he and his son. The ring meant he had a position of authority. Oh, that was already restored. Again, I said, your kids are still your kids. The robe meant his father had him covered. He didn't say, hey, y'all, you got to hose him down because he smells like a pig. He didn't say to his servants, man, if I put that robe on him right now, he's going to mess it all up. He's going to have dirt all over it. He said, no, wrap him up because he's cold. Wrap him up because he's dirty. Wrap him up because he's got rags. Wrap him up because my son is not going to be seen like this in public. Come on, y'all don't know the picture of that gift right there. He said, put shoes on his feet. He means that he is a son and not a servant. He said, bring out that fatted calf, Pastor Sam, because we're going to be grilling and chilling tonight. You know what I love about the fatted calf, Seth? I love because y'all got to hear this. They started fattening that calf up from the time the son left. The father went out there. I'm just speculating, y'all. Father went out there when his son left and said, hey, I want you to get that calf ready because my son is coming home. And when he comes home, we ain't eating Big Macs. We eating prime rib. That's what God thinks about you. You might think you're a daily double. God says, no, you are double portion, baby. I love you double. That's what the Father thinks about you, Sam, among other things. The party meant that he was back in the family. And these are all signs of restoration. But listen to this part. Forgiveness would be empty without restoration. He had to experience the full measure of the Father's mercy. Thank you, Jesus. He had to experience the full measure of the Father's grace. And another definition of prodigal is to lavish, to bestow generously on someone. This kid did not deserve it, but he gave it. That's the Father that we serve. That's the Father that he wants us to become. That's the Father that he wants each and every one of us to be to someone else, to generously give, even though they don't deserve it. Come on, God gave to you in John 1:1. See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that he should be called children of God. And that is who and what we are. The reason the world does not know us, is because it did not know him. I got good news for you this morning. We are children of God, and we have a good Father. In this parable, Jesus is conveying that he's bridging the gap, that he came for everyone. There's no insiders. There's no outsiders. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Everyone, no matter who you are, what color you are, what who you are invited to the party. Everyone is invited to the party. To save us, it caused the Father pain. He had to look upon his Son who died for us. But he gave his Son for us because he loves us just that much. You think about the sacrifices that you make for your kids. But what a sacrifice did he give to look down on a cross and see his one and only Son being crucified for you, for a maybe too. There was no guarantee that you would serve him. This morning, God gave his best for us. I think we should give our best to our families, to our kids, to our wives, to everyone around us. If y'all would stand with me, please. Maybe this morning your physical son or physical daughter are distanced from you, or you've had a disagreement, or they've rebelled with you. They're out there crazy right now. If that's your kids or if that's someone in your family, God understands your pain. You may have kids in the pig pen of life right now, and you want to run and rescue them. Maybe you've ran and rescued them before. And God said, can you leave them in there just a few more minutes? That's so hard. Don't go jump in the pig pen with them. Invite them to come out and say, hey, I'm going to clean you. Let them go. The son realized his own mistake, and it took the pig pen to cause him to come to repentance. They may be to the old point that they have to find total desperation before they'll ever seek after God. Be an influencer. Maybe you've not been the best influence. There's time to turn those things around.
Amen.
I can remember a time, telling you a bunch of stories this morning, but I had two only children. I had a son, I had a daughter, and she was 12 when my son was born. I wasn't available to her. Yeah, I was there. I went to work. I did the things. I bought her things that she wanted. I was disconnected and I wasn't available to her. And when my son came along, I decided I wanted to do things a little differently. I went overboard with availability. I went overboard with things. I went overboard with sports and baseball and all this. I went overboard with those things. Sometimes we have to find that equal balance when we raise our kids. And I'm paying the price for that a little bit, but things are getting better. This morning, I'm just asking you to give all these situations to God. And even if you feel like you failed, even if you feel like you've been a failure as a father, as a man or a husband, can I just tell you that me and my wife had one of the best vacations we've ever had in our lives? Can I get an amen on that? We decided, listen, I'm talking to you men. You got to have a date night. You got to connect with your wife. You have to be that person that she needs, that she can go to. And we decided, sitting on that beach those days, we decided we made a game plan, didn't we? When we come back here, there's going to be a day or a time, or we've already had a couple of them since we met. It's been great. Anyway.
Get it, Pastor Rick.
But I mean, you have to have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you're never going to have a plan. We have a plan. We're going to start spending time together at least a day or two or six or a week, you know. But remember, if you're very far away, start building those relationships again with your wife and with your family, but mostly with your Heavenly Father, because when you get that relationship right, the rest of them will come. And the good news is, guys, you may be doing better than you think. So many times we beat ourselves up as dads. We beat ourselves up because we can't do this, or we feel like we're not doing that. Somewhere every day, I heard this at VU conference, at VU pastor conference. It says, you got to find a win every day. Come on, there's a win every day. You got to find that win. Go out, instead of looking at all the mistakes and failures you thought you made with your kids, find that win, Pastor Johnny said. This is my win sitting on the front row up here. It's my win. So many times we beat ourselves up and God's like, no, you're doing good over here. Why do you just see that? This morning I'm going to ask all the men, all the fathers to come forward if you would please. And I'm going to pray over you. Come on. All you future dads, come on. There's some people in here that have been waiting and praying and hoping to be a dad. This could be your day. Come on. Come on. Father, I thank you so much for these dads. I thank you for healing and restoration. Even though we may not see it right now, I thank you for healing and restoration right now in every relationship. God, I pray right now that if there is some division, that you'll give them a new start, that you'll heal them from the hurts. God, you would heal them from their own hurts and pains that maybe were inflicted on them when they were growing up by their physical father. Father, right now I speak blessings and life over each and every one of these men. And God, right now I know that you have a good plan for them, a good hope for them, for a good future. And God, I just ask you right now that they seek you before they seek anything else. God, I pray for a relationship that would come and develop in them with you being their father. God, they can learn and they can witness, God, the goodness of God in their own lives. And Father, right now, again, I speak healing. I speak a blessing. I speak love over each and every household. I pray, God, right now you make them the best husbands, the best fathers, the best dads, and give them the special grace that they'll need when they need it at the time that they'll need it. God, let them know that you're with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, what a signature of having men worship during this next song. Let's put our manliness aside. Let's put our what we always do aside and say, God, I'm just going to worship you during this next few minutes.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.